The Raptors have made some moves, but are they done? To talk about these and other things, the president of basketball ops and general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri, is with us. Hello, Masai. How are you?
Bob, how are you, man?
Good, pal. I want to get to the DeMar DeRozan stuff, obviously, and what else you have going on. But I want to start with the Jared Sullinger signing. I think on the day that it was announced, unofficially, Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, who's one of our regulars, was on the program, and he has seen just about every game that Sullinger has played. And I will tell you, he was at best lukewarm on Sullinger. Mm-hmm. And then I said to him, do you see Sullinger as a four, or what about him being a five, backing up your starting center? And I was on the telephone with him, but I could see his eyebrows raise, and he went, well, that's interesting, because he believes Sullinger's real asset is as an inside guy rather than an outside guy. Tell me what your thoughts were when you decided to go after this guy.
Well, it's funny. He says that, and you said that, Bob, because we're looking for both positions, right? Yeah, you're
right.
Looking to fill up Scola's minutes, and you're looking to replace Biombo in some kind of way. It doesn't always work out that it's filled in the exact kind of way, but. We feel that when you look at a Boston team, I think the Boston team were rated higher than us going into the season and almost till the end of the season. A lot of people thought they were a better team than the Raptors. We take a player that started 73 games out of 81, and we get him to replace an older player who did unbelievably well for us in Scola, and also to play some backup minutes. But and at some point we need rebounding on both ends of the floor, which he does. We need passing and basketball IQ, which is he's very good at. And we have two pretty good players on our team named Kyle and DeMar who need a pick set and big picks and all the ones that we called illegal back then when he was playing on another team.
Yep.
He's now on our team, so they're not illegal anymore.
So you see him as kind of a guy who could potentially, over the course of any given game, play both the four and the five?
No question.
Hmm. And isn't his strongest ass? I know he can shoot the three. And Ryan said to me, you know, he thinks he's got a bit too much of a love affair with the three. And that's what you're looking for. But if you look statistically at him, and it's not a consistent pattern, but his biggest games come as a guy off the boards. That's where he seems to have a real skill set.
He has a real skill set there, and he'll play good minutes there. But I don't think, you know, like, and I hate to be, I'm not being disrespectful in any way, Bob, but I don't think they have a center in the caliber of Jonas Valanciunas. They might be better off than us everywhere, in any way
I would
or
agree.
Anyhow.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think they have a player in the caliber of Jonas Valanciunas, that position. And so I don't know that he has ever played with a player that good in that position, and I think this will bring out even more. It will show his skill set, high low situations, stretching the floor. Now you know you can. How are you going to guard both of them? You know, like you have to figure out, and you have to figure out the other three guys. And also, we have a guy that can really, really pass the ball with a high basketball IQ. So that's the way we look at it.
Do you believe, I mean, it's fair to say that you got more out of Bismack Biyombo than the team that drafted him. Now, maybe he was just ready to flourish. Maybe it was Toronto that helped him flourish. Do you believe that Sullinger is going to find a level to his game with the Raptors that he didn't have consistently in Boston?
Look at everybody that came here, Damian. To me, it's become our MO. It's what we do. And we believe we have the team that can do it. You know, whether you take a Grievous Vasquez, whether you take a Lou Williams, whether you look at a Luis Scola, whether you look at a Bismack Biyombo, all those guys have come into a situation here on a winning team and have done even better. That's what we expect about with Solinger, and we expect better. Sometimes, yeah, on paper it seems one way, but we're hoping. You know, like this is their moves that are made is what I said last summer. We signed Corey Joseph, Damari Carroll, Biombo, and Luis Scola. Looks great on paper. It has to work when we come into training camp. This has to work when we come into training camp.
Was Solinger a player you were eyeing, or did he really only jump into your conscience or consciousness when they decided, the Celtics decided to rescind the offer they had to him?
We were eyeing him from day one. The only problem is we didn't know if they were going to renounce him or not. You know, like that's there's a guessing game there, and you can only hope. We went after another player when Pau Gasol actually when he was before then, and it didn't work out for us, and we moved on as soon as Solinger was renounced. We jumped on it, and we got him to come to Toronto.
Your young draft choices, big guys. Do you have an expectation that there is anybody there that you have drafted, either this year or previously, that is good enough to play with this team right away?
It's going to be tough. You know, Norman Powell and DeLon Wright are getting there. I think they'll be a little bit more consistent next year, and probably have some consistent minutes with Bebe also shot blocking. I think he's had a good summer. I think he'll start to emerge a little bit because we lost Bismack Biyombo. And then with the other guys, you know, they'll continue to get better in our youth programs, whether it's Pirtle, who has played remarkably well defensively, especially, and it's what we need. He's also a kid with a high basketball IQ, and then Pascal had one great game, but unfortunately he hurt his knee, and he's now getting back. I don't think we'll get him back before summer league, but all players on the rise, you know, like Bruno, they're all getting better, and I've said it and I say it again. From 10 to 15 are going to be developmental players for us. You know, like those are players with 905, with how we want to grow as a team. Those are players that we feel like we have to keep bringing up and getting better.
Are you done? Do you think you've done as much as you can do?
For now, I think, Bob, honestly, you know, like I'm always listening. My phone is always on, you know. There could be other moves, but... If I was to put a bet on it, I would say we go into training camp with these 14 players and invite a couple players to probably fight for that last spot.
We have, it's funny that we haven't talked about DeMar DeRozan yet. He sort of fell below because we had these other things to talk about. But let's talk about his contract. It seems from afar this was a straightforward, almost easy negotiation. It just happened pretty naturally. Was it an easy negotiation?
Yeah, yes, it was. You know, we talk about the money, Damian and Bob. It's a difficult time for us to really like comprehend because of the. It's almost a storm, you know, and
right.
we had to prepare for it, and this is what. Came on our table. Competing instead of against one or two teams, which will be the usual off season and salary cap situation. Here there was 20 to 24 teams with great amount of space, and so it made it very, very interesting, and as an organization, as management, we had to foresee that, and we had to look ahead, and that was one of the reasons why we extended Jonas and extended Terrence. in October, because you try to predict that if we didn't know it would for sure be like this, but if it went like this, we wanted to have a couple guys at least like locked up. So we're not competing with too many teams, and so the Mars was straightforward, you know, like we knew where we had to get to, and he was kind enough not to visit any other teams or do any other meetings, and I think it happened pretty quick.
Somebody said it took 15 minutes. Is that true?
Yeah, about it lasted really? About 30 minutes, but for me, 15 minutes to. You come strong with what you want to do, you attack it the way you are supposed to attack, because free agency is a crazy thing, Bob. If you leave it for like another hour or two, before you know it, there's 29 other teams there that are sniffing, that are trying and trying to figure out your weakness. So, but in terms of the easiness and just who DeMar is, you know, it was pretty good and pretty easy to get done.
That's a lot of money, Masai, to spend in a half an hour. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure at a certain point
he thought about it for longer than a half an hour.
I think so too.
Yeah. You know, this is all hypothetical, but there was, and you would acknowledge this, there were not just several other teams, but probably many other teams that would have taken a shot at DeMar DeRozan. And we've heard all the list, you know, the LA Lakers, because he's a Compton kid and, you know, they need players. Were you at any point concerned that if you didn't get the deal done quickly and that he started to really listen to other teams, that this negotiation could get problematic?
You know, I wasn't concerned, you know, there's always that concern, Bob, to be honest, you know, like, so you don't let it get there. That's my philosophy. I just refuse to let it to get to that point, you know, and throughout, I think you have to know who these players are. You have to know their inner circles. You have to know who's close to them. You have to know, you have to constantly have conversations with their agents during the season. And develop these relationships and network. And we have a strong staff that we feel, we believe we put guys in place to get all this information. So when you are hearing all the things of, oh, he can go here, he can go there, you better have done your homework, you know, like you better have studied this, because if it goes another way, then you have to set your plan B. You have to sit your plan B on the table.
Right.
But with DeMar, we didn't have to go there. But in protection and in, you know, the knowledge you have of the history of free agency, you know that if you let this thing, you know, like just go anywhere, then sometimes you're asking for trouble, because these 29 other general managers, they're not just sleeping. They're not just relaxing, you know. Like, they are fierce. They're all great talkers. They're all great negotiators. They convince players, and we have to fight against that. We have to compete against that.
Was the length of the deal an issue? And I raise this question because you and I have talked about this before. The salary cap will take a jump this year, but it could jump another 30% next year. And so there was great speculation that a lot of these free agents would sign one-on-one deals. That was not the case with DeRozan. Was that a part of the negotiation discussion?
No, because I don't think he's one of those type players, you know. Like, in terms of my honest read of it, Bob, and I, you know, some of these guys are, you know, like they're at a level where they can do that. I think DeMar is at a level of, and he's the kind of person that wants stability, that wants security, you know, like, I just wants to move on with what he's doing, you know, like, some of the guys they can afford, and I think they have the caliber, if that's the right word to use the market this way and take advantage of it, but DeMar is more more of a stability, security type player, and the level that he is, I think he's very comfortable with this deal, if that explains it well enough.
When, I mean, he's going to make, I guess, a salary book, $29 million on average through this five-year contract. And I'm sure he, like all athletes, will say, it's not going to change me. I'm going to be the same guy. But contracts do, Masai. Either they change an athlete's commitment sometime, or they raise the level of expectation of that athlete because of the number now attached to his name. Do you think that DeMar DeRozan is prepared to deal with all those things?
I think so. He's always seen himself, you know, like at this level, they prepare themselves, and we try to prepare them, you know, like as much as possible. Because I remember I used to say to his agent, you know, like, hey, if this guy is if he's a max player, he has to do this or he has to do that. And I'm tough on DeMar, you know, like I'm tough on him with responsibility. We have to be, because I want the kid to succeed, and you want him to play at a high level. Not one time has he ever run away from it. Not one time has he ever pushed back on it. You know, he comes back and he keeps trying, and that's the honest truth. He never says, well, you know, he will never back down. He never tries to give any excuses. He just keeps plugging and plugging and plugging and plugging, and he'll say, my bad, you know, like, hey, it's just something you want, you know, like in a person. And then when you look at the history of the kid, every single year, 7 years, every single year he's gone better, you know, like, so he's only 26 years old. There has to be, or 27 years old, there has to be, there's still some upside, you know, like, I don't know if he's reached his peak, but for a wing and a big-time player, a big-time athlete like him, these are the good times. The next 3-4 years are going to be at a high level for him.
When during the playoffs, it was fascinating to see the way people reacted publicly, media, with the ups and downs of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and they were real ups and downs. Was there ever a point when DeRozan was struggling, and I think you'll agree at some points in the season, in the postseason, he really struggled, that you began to doubt whether this was a commitment the Toronto Raptors wanted to make to this athlete?
There was none, but you do try to figure out, you know, like why he struggled, you know, like at certain times. But at that level in sports, it's unbelievable. So if I bring up these names, you know, and I hate to mention names of other team players, but is it not in front of us that a couple of guys from Golden State struggled and we saw it like straight, like right in front of us in the playoffs? Right. Is it not in front of us that we saw a couple guys in OKC struggle and these guys, you know, lost, gave up 3-1 leads? You know, like, I think it's in front of us. We saw everybody in every team struggle at certain parts. And that's when I started to realize that, if you have to keep plugging away, you have to come out of it, and it will happen again, and you have to keep plugging away, because every game in the playoffs is so intense, it's unreal. The expectations, the pressure, everything that these guys go in, the mental fatigue, the physical fatigue, you know, it's incredible. And then teams play you, they study you every single day differently, and they can come and attack you in different ways. And it's not like the regular season where today you play Oklahoma and the next day you go and fly and play Memphis and Oklahoma has totally forgotten about you and then New York is preparing for you. It's very different. This is, yeah, staring at somebody 7 times and you're wondering what the person is going to do, and it's not something easy to do in sports. And these guys are going to have their struggles. So we read it that way, you know, we saw it that way, and they are going to have their struggles as long as they keep pushing and they persevere and they don't give up, you know, because winning is what we want to do, and I think they understand that, and DeMar understands that.
With Masai Ujiri, I understand the limitations of what you can glean from the Las Vegas Summer League because of the quality of the competition and the shortness of that program and all the other variables that are there. But Norman Powell was, if not the best player, then certainly one of the best players. as a guy we've only seen bits and pieces of as fans, what do you take from his performance there? And what can that mean as part of his development?
It means, I think, he's gearing himself up to become a beautiful player, Bob. He had the same thing last year, if you remember. He came into the season and pushed in training camp, and he had ups and downs, but he still fought his way and fought his way into the rotation, and then fought his way into playing like some good minutes for himself. Yes, and now he's one of those guys where sometimes people ask the question, are they almost too good to play in the summer league, or what do you do? This guy came to us and said he wanted to play. I want to play in the summer league.
Right.
And he goes there. He's a leader. He's working on other aspects of his game, and he continues to prove it. It's going to sit in a beautiful place with his coaches and with Dwayne Casey, and that's going to pay dividend when the season starts. And I think the kid is phenomenal, and it's only going to go upward for him.
Last point. I promised I would make this reference. My friend Matt Bonner, who is now a free agent from San Antonio. I'm sure you're familiar with him. Used to play for the Toronto Raptors. Very popular player when he played here. Is a free agent and without a contract. And I said, you know, Bonner, I was on yesterday. I said, you know, Masai's coming on tomorrow. I'll put in a good word for you. So if you're looking for a big, you know, to give you a few minutes here and there, experienced guy, shoot the three.
Yep. We're here to help him.
We're here to help. So anything you can do, just keep him on your radar, will you please?
Hey, I can tell you, yes, for sure. And I can tell you, Matt Barner's agent, Kenny Grant, represented me when I played in Europe.
Wow.
I wasn't very good, but trust me, I've heard from him. I'm way ahead of you guys, you know. Like, but what a phenomenal player, you know. And I hope it works out for him, you know. Like, and I wish it could be a situation here. You never know, but I've done a lot of work with Matt in Africa and around the globe. Phenomenal person, phenomenal family.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. You can't ask for anything better. Kind of person you want in your locker room. So we'll see.
Yeah, give him a shot. What the heck? Good kid.
Come on, Masai.
Listen, thanks a lot for joining us. If we don't talk to you before, we'll talk to you before the snow flies, but if we don't talk to you before the training camp, we'll enjoy the rest of your summer. And thanks as always.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for always being so kind. Thank you, guys.
Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball ops and general manager of the Toronto Raptors, and I don't know about Bonner. Heard from him at least.
Yeah, makes it pretty clear that Sullinger became plan B when they tried to go after Paul Gasol. And couldn't get him. And boy, we'll see how Sullinger turns out. Gasol would have been very interesting with this group.